Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it sure is good to see you and to preach to bodies. I really noticed that on Friday at the wedding when we could have the service in the sanctuary and there were people again before me, and just made it so much more real and special. And this isn't quite what we want yet, still being outside, but we are thankful for this, and may God bless His Word even as we hear it this morning. And the sermon this morning is all about Jesus Christ as God's Son, our Lord. So what a great theme as we come together this morning to focus on the Redeemer, the Savior, the Son of God, as we confess every Lord's Day in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, our Lord. So that fact about Him, that He's God's Son, our Lord, that fact really sets Him apart, makes Him to be most extraordinary and wonderful. And what a privilege for us to think now about Him and to consider Him together. Just by the way, doesn't every Christian love to hear more about our Savior? Isn't it good for us and a great joy for us to spend time thinking of Him? Do we not find our souls refreshed and fed and nourished? And do we not find our faith also increased, and our zeal and our love, all as a result of fixing our eyes so much more deliberately and extendedly on Him whom we have learned to love, trust, and serve? Though in saying that, it is true, we are not always so alert and so eager and so ready. And to our shame, we can be sluggish, can't we? And we need grace to wake up and to stay alert and to be captivated by the glory of the Savior. Let's pray for that every day. And let another sermon all about Him be a means in God's hand to strengthen our mind, our heart. And if we're not saved yet, if we have no interest in Jesus Christ, and maybe we don't trust Him and serve Him, maybe this morning already you are tuning out at the start of the sermon. That's very possible. There are so many distractions all around us and within us. But let me ask you here and now to listen carefully this morning. For there is nothing so important in all the world than to be clear about Jesus Christ, and especially to know Him. My desire and my aim as your pastor is to show His glory to you, if I can. And so that maybe this time you listen. Maybe this time it will sink in and you will understand and be affected and will turn and be saved. Jesus Christ is God's Son, our Lord. The text for this sermon I've already read to you from Colossians 1. It's all about how God has conveyed us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood. So the two themes of God, of Jesus Christ as God's Son and Redeemer, are there in the text. God's Son, our Redeemer, our Lord. So that's the theme. Jesus Christ as God's Son, our Lord. And in thinking about Him, let's first say how great He is. How great. Because here, especially think of Him as God's Son. What a privilege, of course. What an honor. And it speaks to His greatness. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. So here we learn that God has a Son. And Him whom we know as Jesus Christ, He is that Son of God. He is the Son of God. How often the Bible speaks about Him in this way. So often we don't even hear it anymore, perhaps. But it's worth registering. Like when Jesus was baptized, or when He was transfigured and that voice came from the heavens, "This is my beloved Son." Or think of what Peter confessed in John 6, "You are the Son of God." Jesus Himself affirmed it numerous times when He spoke of Himself as the Son, when He declared Himself to be the Son, when He said that He was indeed the Son. Now, just to be clear, He was Son already before His incarnation. Before Christmas, let's say. Before we meet Him as Jesus Christ. Christmas did not make Him God's Son. No, He has always been God's Son. He never began to be the Son. He has been forever the Son. That's a mystery that we cannot fully unravel. People have tried and they've always stumbled into heresy as a result. Arius being the most famous, perhaps, many centuries ago, teaching that there was a time when the Son was not. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that He is before all things. The Bible teaches that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal Son of God. We don't need to understand it so much as simply to bow to it and to say in response to it, isn't He great? But then something else to think about. What's confessed in our catechism, that He is the natural Son of God. And part of the issue there is to distinguish between Christ and the Christian. Christ is the natural Son. We are the adopted sons or children. And the Bible makes that distinction. But the main point for now is to fixate on this idea that if He is the natural Son, that means that He is the same nature as the Father. And of course, that's true. But that means that He is as much God as the Father. To be God's Son eternally is to be God eternally. And this is confirmed throughout the Gospels and the whole New Testament. Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as much God as the Father. And that means, of course, that He is infinite in wisdom, in power, in goodness. It means He can do whatever He has been commissioned to do. It means that you can trust Him with full confidence. And all this together then is meant to highlight how great He is. To be great means to be high, exalted, lifted up, majestic. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. High, lifted up, exalted, majestic. How great He is. More than great hockey players. More than great leaders or great musicians or great whoever. More than any great man or woman throughout the whole history of the world. The Son of God is in a class by Himself. He is greater than all. Do we not have to say that? Do we see it? And let's reflect that we do then, including in the time that we give to Him, to think of Him, to listen to Him, to speak to Him, to serve Him. Let's reflect that we understand He is great. And in the way that we adore Him and reverence Him, including in public worship, and likewise in family worship and in private worship. Jesus, let's say to ourselves, Jesus Christ, Son of God, this is all for You. Let Your name be praised. Let You be glorified. Help me to worship You. So Jesus Christ as God's Son, our Lord, especially as God's Son, how great He is. But now let's notice something else. Our second point, not only how great He is, but how great His work. How great His work. And here we look at the way that He is our Lord, and especially His redeeming work. As both our catechism and the Colossians text set out for us, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He redeems. Truly this is great. He is great and His work is great. Because just think through quickly with me a number of points about this. Like how His redeeming work is so necessary. He's our Redeemer. That means He rescues us from slavery, from bondage. And the bondage here is to sin and to Satan, to death and to hell. And He rescues through paying the price for us. The thing about that is that if He didn't do it, if He doesn't redeem us, then we are finished. We will die. And not just die, but die forever. Because to be in bondage to sin and death as we are by nature, that's a prison house from which we can never break free. We don't have the will. We don't have the power. Sin has so utterly ruined us and disabled us. Sin has made us its slaves forever, including all the misery that comes with that. And then finally, destruction. It's not for nothing that John Bunyan pictured Pilgrim living in the city of destruction. And that's our situation by nature. By the way, when you understand that, that's when you understand also all that's going on around us and all that we find also within us. I mean, think of all the folly and misery and blindness and darkness and emptiness that is laid out for us every day in the news. Why is it that people hate each other and curse each other and kill each other? Why do people ruin themselves through drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and other things? Why do married couples break apart and families fall apart? Why do so many people make a mess, a total disaster of their life? It is because we are slaves to sin. It is because we are bound by Satan. It is because we are living on death row. And we can do nothing about it. And we even deserve all of the misery and judgment through our own willful disobedience. We're not just guilty in Adam. We're guilty ourselves. And how much we need, therefore, a Savior and a Redeemer. And that is what Jesus Christ, as God's Son, our Lord, is all about. He redeems us. Think how He redeems us so entirely. We don't just need Him, but He's an entire Redeemer. Our text does not highlight that so much, but the Catechism refers to it specifically when it says He redeems us soul and body. In other words, the whole man, the whole person. We belong to Him in entirety. We are redeemed by Him in entirety. He made your body. He made your soul. He put you together the way He did. And in Christ Jesus, He comes to redeem all of you. The whole of you. Think too how He's getting ready to return. And when He returns, He will raise His people from the dead. And He will bring all His church glorified into a new creation. We won't just praise Him in disembodied souls. We will praise Him in glorified bodies encasing our souls. Oh, it is important to understand how He redeems us so entirely. Think too how He does it personally. And here notice the words of Colossians 1. In Him we have redemption. In Him. So He doesn't send agents, angels, other beings, creatures, messengers. No, He doesn't delegate this task. He takes it on Himself. He comes. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of God came. Our Lord came. And He will do the work of redeeming His people. Think too how He does it, not only personally, but so utterly sacrificially. And here I mean the fact that He doesn't just write a check. He doesn't pay any money. It's not even simply hard labor for a lifetime or service or anything like that. No, He gives His life. He sheds His blood. He goes to the cross. He bears in His own person all the sins of all His people. He bears them and He bears the judgment of God for them. The outpouring of the wrath of God. It all falls upon Him, overwhelms Him. What a sacrifice He makes. Who can measure the worth of what He does? In Him we have redemption through His blood. Through His blood. What an ultimate sacrifice. And let's be clear too that it's effective. It's so effective. Paul has no hesitations about that. He says, in Him we have redemption. Not maybe, not hopefully, not perhaps or sometimes or depending on what we do. No, for all who trust in Him, all who receive Him, this is settled and sure and secure. He redeems. He does it. And it means all sorts of wonderful things. It means, as the text says, forgiveness. So all the sins in your life, in my life, all the things that make us guilty before God, Adam's sin, our sin, omission sins, commission sins, thought sins, word sins, action sins, this morning's sins, yesterday's sins. Oh, what a mountain of sin. What a hopeless debt falls or weighs us down even. But through His redeeming work, it's all forgiven. And likewise, deliverance from the power of the devil. If we think of that yet, how the devil has such a grip on our life, on our soul, how we are in his prison and in his service, and we can't break free, and we don't want to break free, left to ourselves so often. We're happy prisoners in our foolishness. But Jesus' work as a redeemer is to break into that prison house of Satan and set captives free. Jesus' work is to break the chains that bind us and to lead us into freedom and peace and wholeness. Jesus' death has paid the debt. And Jesus' resurrection confirms the success. And now by His power, He turns out the devil and He sets the prisoners free. Sometimes that's a struggle because sometimes the devil won't let go so easily. And sometimes in our foolishness, we can resist the Lord for a while. Or sometimes when He saves us even, we can be so dumb and go back to our sin. And back to Satan. We need the Lord to rescue us again and again. We need Him to apply the power of His blood and righteousness again and again. But that's what He does. He delivers us from the power of the devil. Oh, it is effective redemption, congregation. It is rich and plentiful redemption. And this is His work. The work of our Lord. And isn't it great? He's great. And His work is great. Do you think so too? Just reflecting on how it's needed. How it's entire and personal and so sacrificial and effective. Truly, this is great work. And He's doing it. The Son of God. And He does it so freely and faithfully. How can we not be impressed? How can we not say it's great? And then there's something else to mention. Jesus Christ as God's Son, our Lord. Not only how great He is and how great is His work, but thirdly, how great to belong to Him. How great to belong to Him. Meaning when we believe in Him. When in the words of our text we get delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When we get turned from rebels and ungodly to believing and repenting. When we get redeemed through Jesus Christ, then we belong to this God in Christ. And we're part of His kingdom. And we're His property. And if we think of what that means, what the Bible tells us, two things at least. One is that through Him, through God's Son, our Lord, we enter into the family of God and we become children of God. We become children adopted of God by grace for Christ's sake. And how can we ever say enough about that? Behold, what manner of love He has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. So that now we may draw near to the Father. And call on Him as our Father. We may bring every need to Him, every sorrow to Him, every care to Him. We may enjoy all the privileges of sonship in the family of God, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the blessing of God, our whole life. That's what happens when we belong by faith to Jesus Christ. Through Him, we get the right to be called children of God. And God is our Father, and Christ is our older brother. And together we may be in fellowship as brothers and sisters. Also as a congregation who support each other, who encourage one another, who pray together, who stand with each other in hard times and good times. Oh, let's remember all this and delight in this to be part of the family of God. But then there is another blessing that comes through belonging to Jesus and being redeemed by Him. Not only do we enter the family of God, but also we live our whole life under Jesus' care. We live our whole life under Jesus' care, our Savior's care, the Redeemer's care. And isn't this the point also when our text says we get conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of God's love? So we enter into His kingdom. And we live now as citizens of His kingdom. And He, the King, takes care of us. Think too of the language of the Catechism when it says that He makes us His property. Now, that's maybe not the best word anymore. Newer translations say something like, He makes us His own, or He makes us His possession. The point is that He's in charge of us. He oversees us. And one aspect of that is that He sets the rules for our life. How important it is to be clear about that. He sets the rules for our life. And we're to know those rules and follow those rules. Or as Paul says elsewhere, to make sure to glorify the Lord in our life. Or even in Colossians 1 earlier, to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And let that be our prayerful aim every day. All who say they belong to Him. Lord, how can I please You? How can I praise You? But it's not only that He sets the rules, but even more, now He provides for our care. He looks after us and watches over us and makes sure that we get all that we need. Isn't that so? Don't we know also about the care of Jesus in our life? And isn't it good? Yes, can't many also tell about this? How He doesn't just save us, but He is with us. How He is helping us, how He meets us in need, how He ministers to us, He guides us, He shepherds us. And we are safe in His care. And we have peace and rest, even in great challenging situations. Just this week, I heard of someone in our circles having to walk a very, very hard path. And yet this person is blessed with mostly being able to be calm and give everything over to the Lord. And we've heard that before. And some of you can testify of that in your own experience. And what is that? It's not you. It's the care of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. And how great then to belong to Him. That's the point. How great to belong to Him. It's the only comfort in life and in death. Just think if we didn't belong, if we couldn't belong, how helpless we'd be and how hopeless without love and care from God's Son, our Lord. But we may belong. And so many of us confess that. And here in the words of Paul, even we can see our own story. For we can say by God's grace that He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We can say that. That's us. That's what happened to you, to me. And we don't understand it. I mean, who can explain it? And we never deserve it. And we can't ever pay for it. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And we're increasingly humbled by it and forever grateful for it. And most of all, impressed and in awe of the one who's done it, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. And so we rightly say how great He is, how great His work, and how great to belong to Him. Try to remember that. Try to make that part of your daily reflection. How it will help you with perspective. And to be faithful and joyful. And if you don't yet belong to Him, not truly, not by faith, not turning to Him and trusting in Him, if that's any one of you listening this morning, understand that that's a really bad place to be. It's a really dangerous place to be. Because it means that you are still under the power of darkness. And though you think you see, you don't see. Though you think you understand life, you don't understand life. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's coming. The reality is that you belong still to Satan, to his power. And do you realize he plans to kill you? He is a liar. He is a murderer. He steals, he kills, and destroys. So you need to be saved. You need to be rescued. And there is only one who can rescue you. And that's Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. What's so good about this moment? Is that even as you are being told this, He Himself is coming to you. He Himself is appearing to you. He Himself is speaking to you through the preaching of His Word. We believe that. And He comes and He saves and He exercises His redeeming power even in moments like these by His Word and Spirit. See Him. Hear Him. How great He is and great His work and great to belong to Him. See Him, hear Him, and come to Him. Or if you can't even come to Him, simply call on Him from wherever you are in life and say to Him, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord in heaven, hear me, help me, save me, and redeem me. And He will. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Redeemer on high, we praise You and we say indeed that You are great. Your work is great and it is great beyond words to belong to You. Now we thank You, Lord, for the way also through Your Word and by Your Spirit You have been bringing people to Yourself throughout the generations. How many of us can testify too that You have worked to deliver us from the power of darkness and to convey us into Your kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of God's love. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Lord Jesus, help us as we think of these things. Help us in our own minds and hearts. We can never understand it all. We can never pay You for it all. We can only receive what You have done, what You give. We can only receive it and be humbled and thankful and resolved to live our lives to Your glory, honor, and praise. Oh, we ask for that, Lord. in each one of us. And we pray too that you will not only strengthen our faith, but if we are yet outside of you, apart from you, not trusting in you, still living in darkness, whether we know it or not, you might, through the power of your word and spirit, break through, even this morning. Break through, Lord, with your light, your all-conquering gospel light. Break through to deliver us from Satan's chains and from the debt of sin and the punishment we deserve. Lord, we can accomplish nothing ourselves. The word is merely a word, and it is conveyed in weakness. But you have promised that your word will not return to you void. And we pray then that you will work to the glory of your name in us all. Thank you for this service. Again, we rejoice in your goodness. We are humbled by what you have given. We confess we deserve none of it. We pray that as this service comes to a close, as we conclude with praise, that you will bless us as we go to our homes also with songs in our hearts, that this whole day may be offered up to your honor. We pray that the service this afternoon may be able to be held as well. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep us from sin and forgive our sin. Bless also our fellowship one with another, and hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close with singing Psalter number 261. 261, and we'll sing all three stanzas, the victories of Jesus Christ. For our doxology, we'll sing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.